This is Fresh Air. The UN Commission on the Truth in El Salvador issued its report last week on human rights abuses during that country's 12-year civil war. The commission found that the Salvadoran military was responsible for the overwhelming majority of human rights abuses, including the murders of Archbishop Romero, 4 American women church workers, and 6 Jesuits, as well as the massacre of peasants. The Salvadoran military received financial aid and training from the United States. Congress passed a law that before aid could be approved, the Reagan administration had to demonstrate to Congress every 6 months that El Salvador was improving its human rights record. Recently, declassified documents indicate that the Reagan and Bush administrations covered up what they knew about the military's involvement in assassinations, murders, and massacres. The documents were obtained by the National Security Archive through the Freedom of Information Act. Many of these documents were used by the Truth Commission. My guest Tom Blanton is the executive director of the archive. He says American officials should be held accountable for their cover-ups. The full truth is not yet known, he says, because many of the released documents have extensive passages that are blacked out.
I have in my hand here a 1984 Central Intelligence Agency document. It's the 2nd of March, 1984. It's from the Directorate of Intelligence. The headline is El Salvador Terrorist Activities. And on page 3, there's a subhead titled Assassination of Archbishop Romero. Everything underneath that subhead is blacked out.
The official reason for blacking something out is to protect national security?
That's what they say. And out to the side of this censorship, there's a little note that says B1, and that's the specific exemption under the Freedom of Information Act that says we have to protect national security. Well, my fundamental analysis of a document like this is what's really being protected are those American officials who went up on Capitol Hill and went on national television and said, oh, we don't really know who killed Archbishop Romero and, you know, might even have been the guerrillas, and it sure wasn't any of our folks.
Let's look at the big picture first before we get to some of the specific massacres and assassinations that the Truth Commission investigated. Looking at the big picture, what kind of evidence have you uncovered that the government in the United States knew that the El Salvador military was behind assassinations, disappearances, torture, and other human rights abuses?
There's a fundamental document called the Werner Report, which a special study group sent by the Pentagon to El Salvador in 1981 put together, and it really was the key strategy document for the whole American effort to fight the war in El Salvador. And back in 1983 and 84, a whole series of different journalists asked for this document under the Freedom of Information Act and were denied the document. Basically, the American government said, hey, national security, you can't have this. It would embarrass our Salvadoran partners. It would give away our strategy. It would damage American national security. Well, in January of this year, the Pentagon finally released it. One of our analysts at the National Security Archive, Kate Doyle, had just kept following up. The key thing about this document is that it shows the Pentagon was well aware that there was no accountability in El Salvador, that the army was working with impunity, killing civilians, that, in fact, they were not subject to the justice system, and yet the Pentagon was recommending massive investment in the Salvadoran military to win the war. I think one of the most interesting things, this document was completed, I think the end of this mission was November 1981, and less than 4 weeks later, was the El Mazote massacre perpetrated by one of the key battalions that was a key part of this whole strategy.
The Truth Commission report that found that the right-wing leader Roberto Dubuisson had ordered the assassination of Archbishop Romero, who was a critic of the government, and that one army captain and one former army captain played an active role in the assassination. Do any of your declassified documents indicate anything that United States officials might have known and withheld about that?
Absolutely. The murder of Archbishop Romero was the defining event in El Salvador in many respects. He was a real martyr. The fact that even the church, the head of the church, was not exempt from death squad activities. It was a real turning point, I think, in the polarization in the Civil War. And the Reagan administration over and over during the 1980s denied that it had any real evidence connecting the right-wing leader Daubuisson to the shooting of the archbishop. In 1984, for example, the State Department wrote to members of Congress that the information they had was limited and incomplete, and, quote, we have received other intelligence reports on the Romero assassination which contradict the charges that Daubuisson, for example, was involved. But now we've got a declassified document, a cable from the embassy in December 1981, which is, while heavily deleted, has an extraordinary story of let me just quote from this document, because it's a scene that is just very striking and chilling in many respects. That the top of the cable, the first three lines are blacked out. Then it says, a meeting chaired by Major Roberto Daubuisson, during which the murder of Archbishop Romero was planned. Then another deletion. Then, during the meeting, some of the participants drew lots for the privilege of killing the archbishop. Big deletion. Then, assassin as Walter, deletion. Identified, deletion, deletion. Then, Walter as Walter Antonio Alvarez, and then a big deletion, and then a final sentence. According to press reports, several gunmen took Alvarez away from a football game on September 27th, shot him several times, and left his body on the road which leads to Mariona Prison. He was 27 years old and left his wife, Denora, and a small son. Big deletion. Then a final sentence, we believe it is highly likely that the assassin of Romero is now dead by unknown hands. Now, let me just recap this little cable. It says there was a meeting. Daubuisson chaired it. The people there drew lots for the privilege of killing the archbishop. Whoever the sources were to the U.S., who told the U.S. Embassy this story, they went on to identify specifically the gunman, the guy who pulled the trigger, presumably the guy who followed up this meeting with Daubuisson by shooting the archbishop, and then go on to say that the embassy knew that this guy had himself been killed. The embassy knew this, the State Department knew this in December 1981, and yet in 1984 was telling the Congress, oh, we've got incomplete and limited information. We've got intelligence reports that contradict whether Daubuisson was involved.
Who was this cable from?
This was from the embassy in San Salvador, signed by Dean Hinton, who was Reagan's appointee as ambassador to El Salvador, to the Secretary of State in Washington.
How did you get your hands on this?
It was declassified through the Freedom of Information Act. And as I said, it's heavily deleted. One of the reasons we believe that it was declassified was because the former ambassador, the Carter appointee, Robert White, had been coming forward to congressional committees saying, look, the State Department has evidence in its files about who ordered these killings, who ordered the murders of the churchwomen, who ordered the killing of Romero. And so the State Department and the government released some of this under the Freedom of Information Act under that kind of pressure.
My guest is Tom Blanton, Executive Director of the National Security Archive, which uses the Freedom of Information Act to get access to classified documents. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, my guest is Tom Blanton, Executive Director of the National Security Archives. Actually, I think you have a declassified cable from former Ambassador Robert White, a cable to then-Secretary of State Alexander Haig about the murder in El Salvador for American churchwomen in 1980.
That's exactly right, where Alexander Haig, when he was appointed Secretary of State very early on, tried to say, ooh, those churchwomen, you know, maybe they ran a roadblock or there was an exchange of fire. I mean, this is a ludicrous concept of, you know, nuns with weapons who are shooting back at a roadblock. And in light of what we now know happened and how the Truth Commission describes what happened to those churchwomen, it's worse than ludicrous. It's such a perversion of the truth. It had to have the effect. I mean, think about it this way. If you're in the National Guard or in the Army in El Salvador, and you've just wiped out a group of churchwomen, and the world is condemning this action, and the Secretary of State of the United States gets up in front of Congress and on nationwide TV and says, oh, well, you know, we have some information that maybe those nuns were running the roadblock and maybe there was an exchange of fire. You can just imagine the impact of that, telling those guys that they can get away with this kind of thing.
So what did the cable from Ambassador White say?
Ambassador White cabled back to the Secretary of State after Haig and others were saying that the Salvadoran government was seriously investigating the murder of the church women. And White said, basically, you gotta be kidding. I'm here, and I'm telling you, there's no serious investigation of these murders. In fact, what we now know from the Truth Commission report is that the head of the National Guard, Colonel Vitas Casanova, helped cover up those murders, and later, with the recommendation of the U.S. government, was promoted to be defense minister.
The Truth Commission asked for the immediate removal from the El Salvador military of all officers cited for human rights violations. You're concerned about the accountability of American officials who lied to Congress and to the American public. What kind of efforts are afoot in Congress now to investigate cover-ups in the American government?
Well, right now, a subcommittee of the House Foreign Affairs Committee has taken on the task of what they call reviewing every word of the Reagan administration related to El Salvador in light of these new documents, in light of the Truth Commission report.
What are you going to try to do to get more information released from the government? I know you want the government to declassify more documents and also to release information that has been blacked out of documents that you've already gotten released.
What we're going to do is go through the enormous collection of documents that many journalists and many researchers and our own staff have put together over almost a decade, figure out the key documents that are still censored by the government. Put together those lists, give them to people in Congress, give them to people in the State Department, and basically say, here, if you want to restore trust in government, if you want to get out the full story, if you want to rise to the standard set by the Truth Commission, this is what you need to release. You need to go back and look at these key violations, the massacre at Mazote, the killing of the church women, the assassination of Archbishop Romero, the murders of the Jesuits, and so forth. And genuinely make public the information that you had so that we all know the full story, so that we hold our own government accountable. It's not only for history, it's for responsibility, it's for accountability.
Do you think that a Democratic administration is more likely to release the documents that you want declassified because the people who it would reveal information about were working under Republican administrations? Does it work that way?
I think partly it works that way, but the reality here is the Carter administration is not going to come off real well in this process either.
Mm-hmm.
Right after the church women were killed, for example, the Carter administration cut off military aid. But as soon as the guerrillas launched their offensive in January of 1981, the Carter administration sent more aid. Now, you know, that kind of response is not calculated to instill in the Salvadoran military a respect for human rights. But politically speaking, I think that the Clinton administration, not only on El Salvador, but on a variety of issues now that the Cold War is over, has an opportunity to change the whole secrecy system. And I think they're going to have to, if only to save the money. It costs so much to keep all these secrets. And I think that it's going to be in their interest to follow up the Truth Commission's kind of effort, make all this stuff public.
Tom Blanton, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry.
Tom Blanton is the executive director of the National Security Archive in Washington, D.C. This is Fresh Air.